Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The recent WannaCry cyber attack on business data might have been one of the most successful in history, but businesses are not helpless in keeping their data safe. We're joined today in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls by Theron McChesney. He's a business intelligence specialist for SDN Communications. Theron, thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Tell us, first of all, SDN Communications. Give us an overview of who that is and what you do.
Sure. Well, SDN Communications is a broadband internet service provider. We service businesses, so we're B2B, and we also do managed services. So that kind of uniquely positions us to see what's happening on the internet as it comes into South Dakota and into the region, and then also helps us to protect our customers and see where our customers are at and what's happening and what's coming at them in terms of cyber threats across the landscape.
Does what's coming at them change on a daily, weekly basis, or are there some fundamentals that are the same? It just maybe looks a little different.
Sure. Well, like any cyber attack, yes, there are some fundamentals that are the same. I mean, the cyber threats are always out there. I mean, we have a DDoS protection platform, and so we're monitoring for that sort of activity, and that's kind of a constant threat and what flavor of denial of service. And then there's also, you know, Trojans and worms and viruses that we see on a regular basis. Which variants of those can tend to change, but the fundamental of the cyber threat being out there is always the same.
All right. How long have you been doing this kind of work yourself?
Sure. I've been with SDN Communications for just over 3 years. And as a business intelligence specialist, I get to work with a cross-functional team that includes our managed services team, our network architecture teams, to really cultivate and call the data so we can kind of tell the story of what's happening. And that's where I get to speak about cyber threats that we're seeing in the landscape.
All right. So when you were in college and high school, a lot of this didn't exist. Tell me about, and this is a little bit of a sidetrack, I'll grant you, but tell me what in your education sort of, doing what you do now, look back at your education and say, what were the skills that you sort of picked up that you ended up applying to what you do, even though you didn't know that's what you were training for?
Sure, sure. Well, that's a really interesting question, because I probably didn't come at this in the typical fashion. I actually have gone to college twice. I have 2 degrees. The first is in political science. That was what I did for the first maybe 10, 15 years of my life post-college. And then roughly in 2009, I decided that I had wanted a change. Upon my exit interview from SDSU back in 1998 now, they had asked, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, if I was going back to college, I would probably go into computers or computer science. It was something that was it had been around obviously for a while, but right, it just wasn't something that I thought I was interested in. And then as I was in college, the first time I became interested. So I went back to Dakota State University and got a degree in business information systems. And that's really what has positioned me to be the path between those 2 degrees in information and analysis, really brought those two skill sets together and brought me where I am today.
All right. Let's talk about WannaCry cyber attack. Fairly recent, last week or so, started bringing things down. Give us an overview of what this particular ransomware attack was.
Sure. Well, a ransomware attack, just for anybody who's not familiar, is really a virus or a worm where it's trying to take control of the system and prevent access to the computer or files themselves on the computer or network. And preventing that access, they want something out of the end user. They want the ransom in order to release the decryption key so that they can get their files back. It's an extortion scheme. Now, WannaCry hit on May 12th. And it really started out in Europe. I woke up on Friday morning, the 12th, and I turn on the news. And the first things I'm starting to hear are that the National Health Service in Britain is having a large cyber attack, and they're canceling these appointments. And so I was like, oh, well, that's really interesting. I mean, that's pretty big scale when a healthcare provider gets hit with something. And then they started saying, oh, it seems to be ransomware. And it reminded me of the California instance last year where a large California hospital hospital system got hit with ransomware and encrypted a bunch of files. So I was just kind of monitoring it throughout the day and then started talking to our managed services team and our communications teams at SDN Communications to try to find out what was happening, you know, here locally. What was happening over in Europe was that it had wormed its way into the system. They weren't entirely clear, and even to today, they aren't entirely clear where the first vector of attack came in. There's some speculation on that, and we can talk about how ransomware sort of originates. But once it was inside the network, this particular variant of ransomware would worm its way from file to file, encrypting computer to computer across a network vulnerability that had been identified back in March and actually patched by Microsoft in an update. But clearly, not all systems were updated. In fact, the ones that were apparently most vulnerable were those that were older and no longer receiving those automatic updates, specifically Windows XP. So Microsoft, when they released the patch in March for this vulnerability, actually decided that they would, after the attack, went back and said, okay, we're going to go ahead and release a patch for Windows XP because it is vulnerable and there's clearly a lot of computers out there that still have this, that are still using that operating system.
Huh. So did people in South Dakota feel a big impact? Did we have any businesses who struggled with it or were victims?
Sure. Well, there's two things to look at there. We did not have any customers that notified us that indicated that they had been hit by this particular variant of ransomware, which is a great thing. However, we did monitor, and we both publicly, you know, there's a bunch of information out there from, you know, various organizations, you know, the FBI, US CERT, European CERT, showing where, including some blogs that are showing where the attacks actually occurred. And they are showing that regionally there were some hits, but they don't drill down obviously specifically to an address, and you can't tell, okay, that it was this particular business. I spoke with our managed services team, and after the updates came out, we had proactively patched on Friday afternoon to take care of our customers when the signatures first were pushed from the firewall vendor. The signatures for the malware and for the worm itself. And we are starting to see some hits on the ports in particular, port 445, the SMB protocol port, server message broadcast, is how it's spreading through that vulnerability. And we are seeing some signature hits on those types of things.
So what needs to be done? First of all, let's go back to, you know, that moment where you realize something major has happened and you're seeing a big sign such as, you know, you're locked out, somebody wants cash from you. What's your first step when you fire up your system and see those first warning signs?
Sure. I mean, if it was happening to me, the first step that I would take would be, honestly, disconnect your computer from the network. Don't turn it off, but rather pull the network connection or the wireless connection. Because if it is, in this case, this particular worm, the WannaCry virus, is, again, passing through this particular port within the internal network and infecting other machines. So if by chance you're the first point of attack through vulnerability, you might be able to stop it right off the bat. The second thing I would do is immediately call your IT support. If you are working at a company that has an IT team, make sure that they are notified immediately what you are doing. You know, they'll want to know information about what types of websites you are browsing. They'll try to start to ask you questions on what's happening to try to find out where that entry point was at. In particular to WannaCry, there's some really good news out there. Over the weekend, European CERT put out some information that there's actually a decryption tool available now that seems to be working in most circumstances. And that's really good news because of the way the virus was set up, there weren't a lot of Bitcoin wallets. The cyber threat actors only used three wallets to get their money. So even if you were to pay, which is never necessarily a good step to take because you're giving into the extortion, even if you were, there was no guarantee you'd get the encryption key because there was no automated processing. So the more people that try to pay, the more they have to manually process, and there's no link specifically to the encryption on your computer in the source code. So
you pay and nothing happens.
You, in this particular case, you pay and nothing happens. You don't get your files back, and you you've given into the extortion. So if they decide to come back with something that's better and does a better job of encrypting and linking to individual computers, you still might be out of your files.
Are South Dakota businesses at risk today, this week? Is it ongoing?
It is an ongoing threat. The virus itself, even when it was stopped initially on Saturday, the 13th, a security researcher located a kill switch inside the program. And it appears to be that it might have been a mistake in the code. But what it was is a URL that was appeared to be supposed to be a randomly generated string URL. But instead, it was hard-coded to a specific URL. And the virus would go out and look and see if that URL was, in fact, registered. And if it didn't come back with anything, it would actually then stop the program and stop the infection. Well, as soon as the security researcher registered that URL and created a sinkhole or a honeypot to collect the information coming from it to see what was happening and monitor the spread, it actually stopped the spread of that variant. Mm-hmm. But then by the following day, there was a new variant that didn't have the kill switch. And there have been several variants ever since that are starting to change little pieces of the code. So the actor, the threat actor in this case, or copycats, seem to be changing the code and reusing it. So yes, everybody is still at risk if you haven't followed the instructions on what you should do in terms of patching your system to take care of the backdoor vulnerability from the Microsoft flaw that they released in March, as well as putting in strong next-generation firewalls that scan both anti-malware, antivirus, and ongoing traffic for intrusion detection and prevention.
So nothing is fun about this. It's dangerous. You attack hospitals, lives are at stake. Mm-hmm. You attack businesses, lives could be at stake. Certainly money is at stake, security is at stake. But is your job just a little bit fun as you as you sort of try to stay on top of and learn the next thing? And, there's got to be somewhat of an adrenaline stress to it.
It's certainly never dull.
Right.
The good news, as I was saying at the top of the show, is that I get to work with a lot of smart people around me, and I get to kind of crunch the numbers and put together the fun graphics that show, okay, hey, this is the number of threats that we've seen. This is the type of information that we've seen. I get to dive into the information. The people that have the really, really hard jobs are so valuable that they're kept on the front lines of the fight.
We don't let them out.
So we don't let them out of the company. They get to sit there and monitor that information.
Just bring them their coffee and keep them happy.
Coffee, Mountain Dew, whatever the case. Me. I offered up sandwiches on Friday afternoon. I was like, looks like you guys are going to be here late. Can I go get you some sandwiches?
Oh, man. Let's talk about keeping companies safe. Everyone's vulnerable to a certain extent. Are there things that a company's culture can do to sort of change, how they think about this, how they think about security, cybersecurity, that is really important to consider right now?
Absolutely. Training is the number one thing that you can do, because the cyber threat actors are really counting on either poor training or human error to be that first step into an organization. So when I mentioned earlier that this is passing through that specific port, there's a lot of speculation on what was the initial vector of the attack in the case of WannaCry. Well, all other ransomwares, or at least the ones that I can remember and the ones that are listed out there, have started with phishing emails. The typical email where some of them are very sophisticated, where they try to get you to click on a link or download a file. Well, as of last Wednesday, no one's been able to produce this particular email that said, yes, this is where WannaCry originated, and this is where the first in, that patient zero, if you will, in terms of infection point. So standard advice is to always train your staff to recognize malicious emails, malicious content, and be security aware of what's going on and coming into their system. Because we've seen them targeted at us in terms of phishing emails and coming in. It's not just our customers, but directly at our company. So we go through a rigorous, repetitive training process to recognize those types of threats.
Do we need to change the way we do business? With everyone working remotely and, we have these, mobile devices and stuff, and mm-hmm. Do we need to rethink how that's done, or do we need to have good security?
I think it's more of the second point that you make in terms of having good security. So when I mentioned as a best practice next generation firewalls with all these fancy acronyms, what we're really talking about there is a firewall that can handle those remote connections and still provide the same level of security, the same information security policy that you might have at your organization so that it treats it as a single environment. So if you are on a VPN, a virtual private network, working from home, you're actually connected into the corporate network in such a way that your computer is still getting the updates scheduled, and that's a very important, you know, best practice to have, that it's still following those policies, that your computer is still being scanned for malware and viruses on a regular basis, and that the device that's needs to manage all this is also getting those signature updates on a regular basis. So that's the kind of thing that we would do for our customers with our managed firewall service.
All right, Theron McChesney, we're out of time. Very quickly, Tuesday, May 23rd in Sioux Falls at the Hilton Garden Inn downtown. Some events for local businesses to talk about protecting critical data, correct? And then
yes.
Thursday, May 25th in Sioux City at the Hilton Garden Inn Riverfront. Where can folks find out more about those and register?
Absolutely. If you go to sdncommunications.com, we'll have more about both those events. And again, the first one's tomorrow morning. So registration at 7:30 to 8 a.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn. Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about WannaCry, distributed denial of service threats, as I mentioned at the top of this, and then just kind of what the threat landscape is overall.
All right. Come back plenty of times and keep us updated there. And thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Laurie. You have a great day.